True Faith Newcastle United podcast. Newcastle have been beaten once again, 3-0 to Arsenal on Monday night. You've got Alex Hurst, Norman Reilly, Michael Collins speaking immediately after the game. And Steve Bruce promised much. He threw his players under the bus ahead of this one. He blamed the players for the capitulation at Sheffield United, despite saying he takes full responsibility. And here we are once again. We slide towards the relegation zone. The worst form in the Premier League. One of the worst teams in the Premier League, quite comfortably. And, you know, this time last week or around that, I was angry. I'm not angry anymore. I've accepted it. Steve Bruce is going to do maximum damage to Newcastle United while he remains in post. Damage that could take months or seasons to undo in terms of the career development of some players, particularly young players. And I got Norman and Mickey. And Mickey, we'll start with you because you said you were angry. I think me and Norman have lurched into apathy at different points. So how do you feel after that one, mate?
I am angry, yeah. I didn't expect to be angry. In the build-up of this game, I thought we were going to lose. I said on the YouTube show before that we were going to win 1-0, but I didn't believe it. I thought we'd lose quite comfortably, but you know, you hear all these absolutely ridiculous statements from the manager in the press over the past 7 days. You know, turns it around and says, "I'm going to play my way," and then we put in a performance that's as abject as that across the entire team, and you just think, what does it even mean? What was the point in saying those things? You know, there's absolutely no truth to it. The only difference tonight to any of the previous games is what was written down on the paper as the formation, but everything else was the same. You know, everything else was as pathetic as it's been time after time after time for Newcastle. And I thought that second half was arguably the worst I've ever seen us play. I think I'd struggle to remember a time I've ever seen a half of football in the Premier League between any two teams and have one of them be so comfortable. Like that wasn't even a game for Arsenal. They didn't have to do anything. We let them score 3 goals through individual errors. If they actually tried to play any football at all, that could have been 7, 8, 9 goals in a half of football. And we genuinely didn't even try to make it look like we were going to try and make a chance. It was like that far removed from us threatening their goal. We could have played that game for 1 million years and we wouldn't have scored. And I just think, what's, you know, it kind of goes against my anger, but like, what's the point anymore? For the manager, it was said the things he did during the weekend and then the team put in that performance is a disgrace. And even disregarding the woeful context of that performance, just that performance on its own was abysmal. And Steve Bruce is not fit to lead the club. He's not. There's no two ways about it.
Norman, I'm going to guess you agree completely with Mickey there. You know, let's look at the team sheet tonight. And even without going into, you can go into the specifics, but 8 changes for a Premier League game, 4, a whole new central midfield. Have you ever known anything like this at Premier League level?
I was racking my brains to try and remember a time when I've seen this at Newcastle, and perhaps the only time we have, or maybe at any other club, is the kind of the last game of the season or the last 2 games of the season. You know, when the season's over and a set and a manager, I'll just like bring in 7 or 8 players, young players, players who are, you know, who haven't been involved all season, or if a team's maybe got an FA Cup final to play at the end of the season. But that's the only time. I mean, this is you know, quite literally halfway through the season. I think that was perhaps our 19th game, was it? Am I getting that right? Or 18th game, so more or less halfway through the season. I don't recall a game where or like I've seen that happen before. And whilst I think, you know, 2 or 3 changes is fine, to make 8, but not only to make 8 changes, but to also go out and play a completely different formation than what we've played lately as well. So it's totally different players, it's a totally different formation, and it's again just a thrown to me, it's just smack of the kind of thrown of the dice desperation that Bruce has shown throughout his whole time in charge at Newcastle. When we've had a run of bad form or a couple of bad games or a couple of bad performances or whatever, he's just done, you know, his words, used a hand grenade, and he used a hand grenade tonight. And guess what's happened? We've thrown a hand grenade in a room where we're the only people in there. It's blown up yet again and destroyed. It was a truly miserable performance. And I think we were talking on the Charlotte show before the game about the fact that he'd gone 4-4-2, yet he'd put Miguel Almirón and Joe Linton on the wings as midfielders. That no other Premier League manager, there is no other Premier League manager, probably no manager in all four divisions who would think, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put a supposed forward who I've played on in midfield before, by the way, and he's been terrible. I'm going to do that again, and I'm going to get like a Paraguayan international who is clearly a very talented footballer and stick him on the left of midfield where he never does anything. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do that. I genuinely don't think there is any other manager who would have looked at that pool of players tonight and thought, that's what I'll do. It backfired, didn't it, clearly?
Maybe this was supposed to be a reaction. And yeah, I mean, I don't even know where to start with this idea of a reaction. We haven't won in ages. You know, the last couple of the games we did win against Palace and West Brom, you could argue both could have easily gone the other way. How much danger are Newcastle in? Do you think, Mickey, do you think we are seeing history repeat itself here with this kind of tortuous slide towards relegation that everyone can see coming? Everyone can see that Newcastle United are potentially going to be in a relegation battle, if not relegated this season. And yet the people who are supposed to look after the club are the ones who seem oblivious to the threat. Where do you stand on the chances of this side under Steve Bruce being relegated, mate?
Well, the parallels to the previous relegations under Mike Ashley are just so apparent. It's unbelievable. We're definitely in a relegation battle, and we're the team in free fall. Alex, I don't know if you'll remember, but when the FA Cup draw came out and we drew Arsenal, you said to us, Arsenal are in free fall. And I thought at the time, it's an interesting word to use to describe a football team. And Arsenal were in free fall at the time. They've subsequently turned it around, obviously, in time and playing Newcastle twice, of course. But how quickly it turns around and how quickly Newcastle United are the team that are in free fall. And you look at the most recent 10 fixtures or whatever it is, and you've gone back to West Brom Palace there, Alex, and you're completely right. Look at the next 10. And you just think, like, where are the points coming from? We're playing football like we are. Where's the turnaround going to come? And what can change with the current manager being in charge of the team that's going to make such a drastic difference to turn around what is definitely the worst form team in the Premier League, without a shadow of a doubt, into a team that can start to accumulate points again? Even just the next three games, Aston Villa away, a club that's been decimated by coronavirus over the past week. Maybe the game might be off, which would be an absolute blessing for Newcastle. If it's on, we lose. No two ways about it. Then we've got Leeds coming here, who beat us 5-2 a matter of weeks ago, and it could have been more. And then we go to Everton. Now, those three games, you know, on current form, it's a guaranteed 0 points. And where do we sit in the table then? Three games down the line, still on 19 points after 21 games. That starts to get really concerning, and then you start to think about how you get to 40 with the games that we have after that. And it's just not coming. After the Everton game, we play Palace, possibly get some points out of that. Palace at home, it's always a stinking game with Palace. And then we have Southampton come up. Southampton didn't seem form. And then we go to Chelsea and Man United, two away games in a row. We could be sitting second bottom by the time we've played those games out, only to Sheffield United, who we're in with a real shout at getting the worst points total in Premier League history until Newcastle went and just rolled over for their first win of the season, obviously. I would be gobsmacked if this team gets itself out of the relegation battle with this manager in charge. And I think we've said for a while, we look like we're going to go down, and I think we will.
Steve Bruce is speaking to the media now, which I will try and tell you lads what he said. I can't hear him because I've got the TV turned down. Norman, just going back to the manager. Totally agree with everything you say there, Mickey. Going back to the manager, we've just talked about earlier in the show about the things that he says, and it's been an integral part of Steve Bruce's managerial career at Newcastle, and beforehand, that he basically talks a load of shite. He talks so much nonsense, and it enrages fans. It's like Pardew, it's like Souness, the obvious examples. What do you think? What do you think? Just say he's going to sack tomorrow morning, Norman. How does Steve Bruce recover from this? because if you look at the gravity of what he said, he said we were shite. He said we threw hand grenades of performances in. He said we do it too often. He said it's no more Mr. Nice Guy. He said I'm going to do it now, my way now, and this is the result. Like, I'm asking you, like, quite seriously, you know, like, how do you think it? You might think it's not possible. How can Steve Bruce, like, what team and formation does he pick for the game against Villa? Do you have any idea?
I don't. I mean, I could give you what I think about where Steve Bruce goes from here, but I've just got his comments up on the BBC website. If you want me to repeat them verbatim, would you like me to?
Yes, yes, yeah.
I might cover my ears, like.
So it's quite extensive, but I'll give me best shot. We gave as good as we got, and got into ourselves some decent opportunities, but that little bit of confidence has ebbed away for sure. We were caught in the second half, where we didn't see it coming from the first half performance. I certainly think in the first half we got ourselves into decent positions, but that little bit of quality has gone as a confidence thing. He's repeating himself here, by the way. And that happens when you want to run like we are. The only way it comes back is with a couple of victories. We just have to keep working at it. We have tried. To win a game, you have to score a goal. We always knew we were entering a really difficult run of games. To play Arsenal, Leicester, Liverpool and Man City, we always knew it was going to be difficult against these top teams. You have seen their players' approach. We are disappointed because we have been caught trying to get forward. Two passes and they are in on our goal. That is something we have to learn from and understand. The reason we have been defending deep was to avoid situations like that. We have to get the balance right, and we will keep working on it. Finally, on his own position, I am trying to do the best I possibly can, as always, but you will have to ask others about that. So there's the comments. I can answer your question in terms of where did Bruce go from here, but without bearing these particular comments in mind, which, you know, none of them are a surprise. They're ridiculous, but they're not a surprise. But in terms of his own position, I don't think there's anything Steve Bruce can do to make things better at Newcastle. I think there is absolutely zero confidence in him from the players. That's quite obvious. The performance tonight was indicative of a group of people who have no confidence in what they're being told. And Steve Bruce is 60 years old now, I think. He's been managing for 22 years. There is nothing that he will innovate now at this stage of his career as a manager, based on his previous record as a manager who hasn't actually been innovative in any ways. That suggests to me he can turn this round. So it doesn't matter what formation he plays against Villa or Leeds or Everton. It doesn't matter how he sets a side up. The fact is that he does not have the capacity or the ability to turn this around. There is only one way that this side's heading with Steve Bruce in charge, as far as I can see, and that's down. Whether we scrape enough points between now and the end of the season to get that to stay up, I don't know, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if we stay up this season, because if we stay up and Bruce stays, next season will be an absolute disaster. That's how I feel right now. And you look at the table and you talk about relegation battles. We've played 18 games. We've got a minus 12 goal difference. Burnley, who are fourth bottom, are 3 points behind us with a minus 13 goal difference. Basically means if they win, they'll go above us on goal difference, or at least join with us on goal difference. We're fourth bottom all of a sudden. And then we're fourth bottom with Fulham, who've got a game in hand. And I know there's no guarantees that Burnley or Fulham will win their games in hand, but the fact is that we are in a relegation battle, and we've been speaking about this for, I would say, months. We have on this particular podcast. Newcastle fans themselves, you look at social media, fans have been saying this. This is a team heading in one direction. And what we saw tonight was maybe pundits looking at it and thinking, oh, hold on a second. All right, 2 months ago, they were 8 points above the relegation zone. They're not in relegation trouble at all. They're going to have no problems. Steve Bruce is doing a great job. To all of a sudden thinking, what have I just witnessed? This is a team that's got serious problems. We've seen this coming. We've seen it coming when we've spoken about the fact that Bruce's victories have never actually been deserved. We've said on numerous occasions, you can't just keep going on like this, because it'll turn around and bite you. And that's what we're seeing now. And I've got absolutely zero confidence in Steve Bruce turning this around. And I think his post-match comments, again, have just reinforced that.
What I find interesting, lads, is everything you said there, Norman, is what I'd hope they realise and appreciate at the club. Everything about the teams below us, the games in hand, the games we've got coming up, the performances, the tactics, the players, all of that. And then you listen to Bruce there, and it's like, we're doing our best. We need a win. And it kind of, he's done this since he's got here, hasn't he? He's certainly done it in the past 12 months. It's gonna reduce the football club to what our opponents accuse us of being. So when Kieran Dyer or Troy Deeney or Lee Henry or whoever it is say that, well, Bruce will keep Newcastle up, and the obvious comeback is, well, that's not his job. His job is, you know, he said when he came in, the job was to take us further as a team who in the two seasons in the Premier League so far hadn't been in a serious relegation battle at the end of the season. So his job was to take us forward from that. The way he's talking, it's like it's one of those runs. And again, the fact that he talks about those teams that he talks about, number one, you don't have to lose all those games. I know we're drew Liverpool, but you don't just have to get beat. It totally ignores the performances against Brighton, the performance against Wolves, the performance against Fulham, the performance against West Brom, the performance against Leeds, the performance against Brentford, the performance against Blackburn, the performance against Newport, and so on. And listen, journalists have said this for a while. He breaks football down in there. They've got better players, so it's almost, what's the point in trying? For Norman Front to give that post-match interview there and completely ignore all of the context that he provided with his pre-match and post-match comments through the week, I just feel insulted by it. Do you know what I mean? It's like after watching that, a game that in the second half, even me, who's recorded a YouTube video about it, who's going to write about this, I've got an editorial to write for the new fanzine that's out. Keep an eye out for the front cover of that, because it won't be Bruce-friendly. I struggle to retain an interest in watching the team play. I struggle to watch that second half. And he talks about, it's the same stuff over and over again. It's like the idea that you attack a team leaves you open. It doesn't have to be that way. Doesn't have to, makes it more difficult. Just because you attack a team doesn't mean you have to concede a goal. You look at the three goals Newcastle conceded tonight, they were all poor defensively. And Steve Bruce talks about going back to basics. Well, what I fear is that in my head, I want to give him the benefit of the doubt and think, well, what he says in public is different than what he says to the players. What he says in public, it's just kind of off the cuff. Don't really give a shit. Don't care what the fans think. Just nonsense. And that, by the way, should be terrible. And that's my best case scenario for this manager. Whereas, in fact, I think he says the same to the public, to the players in the dressing room. I think the messaging is the same. We'll have to get back to the drawing board. We need a reaction. We'll have to go back to basics. They're just empty words, and the players will know they're empty words. Like, can you imagine being a player in that dressing room this week and being Matty Longstaff, being Jamal Lewis, being Javier Manquillo, or DeAndre Yedlin? You know, it's, I don't just want to pick on one player apart from Jolinton. But Emile Kraft, I said this to you lads during the game. What exactly does Emile Kraft do better than either Javier Manquillo or DeAndre Yedlin? And Manquillo and Yedlin are far from the answer in the Premier League, by the way. But what, like, I'm not being facetious. You know, you tell me, lads, what can Emile Kraft do that those lads can't? What can Joe Linton do as a left winger? Because I'm being deadly serious. I cannot tell anyone listening on this podcast what Joe Linton was supposed to do tonight. I don't think Joe Linton knows. I don't think Steve Bruce knows. I certainly don't know. And we'll have ourselves in this position as a Premier League club competing at the highest level at club football in Europe. And we've got players and coaching staff sending players out onto the pitch in formations and positions where it's hope for the best. It might do something. Because you've seen with Joe Linton, he's had two decent games in Newcastle this season against Palace and Burnley, both alongside Callum Wilson. And to play him left wing, it's not fair on him, even though he was dire. It's not fair on Jamal Lewis, who's also struggling massively. But it just completely takes out the left side, any kind of attacking outlet with Joe Linton in the team. I feel like we're witnessing some sort of, like, you know, people, I don't want to get political, people talk about, you know, Donald Trump in America and, you know, the fact that he's never been a politician. It's almost like, Trump's never been a politician before taking on the presidency. It's like Steve Bruce has never been a football manager before taking on this job. And I mean that deadly serious, deadly serious. It's like, you know, making eight changes tonight. It just puts, you know, the complete onus on the players. I mean, Freddy Fernandez being one of Newcastle's best players under Steve Bruce. He's out the team. Norman, I know you want to talk about Jamal Lascelles So why don't we talk about that?
You made an interesting point there about what, you know, what Bruce says in public, what he says behind closed doors. You like to think it's different. And it kind of, it ties into what we see Bruce doing with that squad of players and where does the blame lie for Barbie? Like, I still believe deeply in a lot of those players. I think those players with the right manager behind them are capable of so much more. And we've seen it, right? We've seen it. I mean, let's take Callum Wilson, for example, right? Callum Wilson first arrives at the club. The first few months, we love him. We're singing his praises. He's brilliant. He's clinical. All of a sudden, Callum Wilson is starting to look, he's starting to look like a shadow of the player that he was when he first arrived, because that's going to happen when his confidence is being drained, when he's not being given chances, when he's not being given the right coaching. We're speaking about Jamal Lascelles on the Charlotte show about how he's changed. I mean, you've spoken about on numerous occasions on State of Play. I still think there are some very good players in that squad, and I genuinely think that their confidence is being sucked out them that much that it's going to impact on their careers. I think of someone like Alan Saint-Maximin. How long can Alan Saint-Maximin last in terms of the potential that he's got and realizing it under someone like Steve Bruce? Like, how long? Look at Jamal Lewis. If a fullback who was being linked with Liverpool in the summer, looking like a shadow of the player he was at Norwich, and Norwich got relegated by finishing bottom. This is my fear, is that the players that we've got are getting to the stage where they're completely and utterly devoid of any confidence, and they're starting to a certain extent to, I don't know, not all of them. I'm just looking at Jamal Lascelles' comments. I think they kind of buy into what Bruce is saying as well. Listen to this. This is Lascelles tonight. This is the easy comments. So again, verbatim. They have quality in the team and have some fast players in there. We let it slip. We tried to be attacking, but we were too open at the back. In the first 45 minutes, I thought it was anyone's game. When you go and try to win the game against these sorts of teams, that's when they can hurt you. We had a game plan and tried to stick to it as well as we could. It never helps when you let goals in like that, and it's hard to come back from it. We need to get back to the drawing board and regroup. That's Bruce. Lascelles has said that. That is just Steve Bruce, isn't it?
Spot on. And I mean, you wanted to talk about Lascelles generally as well and his performance and his place in the team, Norman.
So I think I mentioned on there in Charlotte show that he looks like a player who is completely and utterly lacking in self-belief. And Lascelles is, as we've seen over, you know, several years, he's a leader, he's a presence. What he might lack in terms of your sort of modern footballer's ability, in the sense that he can bring the ball up from the back, he can pick a pass, he's cool and composed on the ball. What he may lack in that sense, he may more than made up for in determination, in leadership. I guess a bit like Connor Cody at Wolves. You know, there's limitations in terms of their abilities as footballers in the footballing sense, but they're brilliant and they're really important in the side, and that's what Lascelles had. But right now, he looks an absolute shadow of the player he was. And I find it really sad to see this happen because, you know, as I say, there's a player in there who I think loves Newcastle United. He loves playing at Newcastle United. He's loved by the fans. And I think that relationship's going to get shakier and shakier as time goes on. And it's an absolute shame. And I just look at how Emile Smith-Rowe absolutely rinsed them for that second goal. Like, almost the point where Lascelles was scared to make a challenge, because Smith-Rowe was in a dangerous position. He was in the box. Lascelles takes a chance and makes a challenge, right? He gives a penalty away. Fair enough. But it's the mere fact that it looked like he didn't even have the confidence to make a challenge. And that was very indicative of how little the self-belief that these players have is at the moment. And it's, as I say, once you start losing belief in your own abilities, you know, if you don't believe in the manager, right, but you've got self-belief in you and in your teammates, you've got a chance. But when your own self-belief starts eroding, man, you're in big trouble. Like, and I think that's what's happening at the moment. And to see Lascelles, the club captain, in the way he is at the moment is just, I find it really sad. And as I say, really indicative of where we're heading.
On Lascelles, though, I can't quite get my head around why he started this game. Having missed so much football, played 45 minutes and been so tired he had to come off. It just seems insane to then chuck him in from the start in a four-man defence when he's been used to playing in a five-man defence where he's got a bit more protection. With Emile Kraft as his right back against a team with loads of fast players, it was destined for failure that. And there was three or four times, particularly for their second goal, where Kraft's just nowhere near where he's supposed to be as the right back, and Lascelles is then having to do kind of two jobs at once. He's got no chance. So it's, you know, I feel for him a little bit for kind of what happened to him today, because I don't necessarily think it's completely his fault. Why is Fernandez not played?
Well, here's my hypothesis. I think because he gave away the penalty against Sheffield, it's that simple. It's you're out. Even though he made two unbelievable blocks. But you're right though. Why would you take him out for this game? It doesn't, you know. Lads, apparently on Sky, you said it was an improvement again from Sheffield United. He's a piss taker. The bloke is a piss taker. To look at that performance in that game and call it an improvement is an insult. And I keep using that word insult. It's like he is genuinely insulting the fan base. Mm-hmm. It's like when Sunderland got relegated to League One from the Championship, but they didn't get relegated until like near the end of the season. It's like them saying it was an improvement on the Premier League campaign because we got relegated still, but it was just a bit like less worse of a relegation. Like this time next year when we're fucking bottom of the Championship with Brucey, he'd be like, well, it was better than Sheffield this time last year, wasn't it? As we lose at Sheffield again in the Championship, but just not as badly. The bloke's beyond parody. He he was asked about his future and he says, it's not my decision. I'm the right man to take it forward. I need someone, some journalist to say, tell us why you're the right man to take us forward. And saying you've done it for a long time isn't a fucking reason. It's not a reason to do something because you've done it for a long time. It's probably a reason to stop doing it, Steve, because you've been doing it for a long time and you're still producing these results and performances. Probably tells you something about the things that you're doing. I don't know. I'm starting to get annoyed now. I was supposed to be apathetic.
I knew you were angry, really. Can't help it, can you?
Go on.
Sorry. I don't want to be angry anymore because it's a complete waste of time, but that's what it is, isn't it? Like watching Newcastle is a complete waste of time, but we all still do it. Coming out at the end after that absolutely horrific performance. It's pointless running over in your head over and over and over again and thinking about what the manager should have done, what the manager said, what the players did. But you do it, it's inevitable, and then you think about everything that's gone wrong. And like it's utterly infuriating. And it's as Norman said earlier, it's just avoidable as well. Like we have decent players in the squad and we're shocking. You know, you compare this to the team that went down in 2009, by the way, on paper, this is a better side. And we're worse.
You're angry, Mickey. Sorry, I'll just jump in there. You're angry because you care, mate, and this is the thing. Like, I'm apathetic and ambivalent a lot of the times before the match, during it, and after it. But then it's obviously as soon as I start talking to mates, as soon as I start talking about Newcastle, as soon as we get together, then you realise actually how much you do care and the anger that it does make you feel. Because, you know, like if we were at the matches now, if us three and a few others had beaten the match, we'd gone for a pint before, we're having a couple of pints afterwards, like that ambivalence and apathy probably would never have taken hold. We'd be angry, and we're rightfully angry. And I think one of the problems is that Bruce gets angry, but Bruce gets angry because he's being criticised himself. Bruce isn't angry because he cares about Newcastle United Football Club. Bruce is angry because people are digging him out. We care because what he's doing to our football club. There's a massive difference in him going on TV and swearing and losing his temper. That's him, because he is reacting to people having a go at him, as opposed to what he actually cares about Newcastle. And it's just incredible that there's so many things that you know we could be angry about. I mean, like I'm a little digressing slightly here, but Gary Neville's post-match comments, like, you know, I know it's terrible to watch, but you know what do Newcastle fans expect? Bruce did a good job last season. No, he didn't. They're in 15th, 14th. They've got terrible players. What do they expect? This is Gary Neville saying this. It's like, well, actually, no, hold on. You know, it's been like that for years. What they expect? And it's like, no, mate, you're missing the point. And I'm bringing up the previous manager here. It's almost like, Neville, did you not watch a single Newcastle match and look at those fans and talk to those fans during the 2 years that we were in the Premier League with Rafa? Yes, we didn't get many points. Yes, there were some awful moments, but we felt like we were being led by someone. We had a manager who cared and who wanted the best for this football club. Steve Bruce, right at this precise moment in time, I think he's kind of looking after he's looking out for himself as opposed to actually caring about Newcastle. And that's maybe a harsh accusation to make, but that's just what it feels like. And it's not a surprise that we're angry at all.
So you know, everyone says that this is like comfortable for Bruce because the fans aren't in the ground. I would argue it's like uncomfortable more for us because we don't get to go to the ground. We don't get to, like, you don't get to get it out of your system. You don't get to kick off in the pub afterwards. You don't get to like have a rant about the team as it comes out. It's not the same because you don't get to shout at the manager. And I'm finding it really hard to deal with my anger at the management, the whole team and structure at the club at the minute, because you can't go and like just shout at them. Like, do you know what I mean? I don't know whether you two lads are feeling it and whether everyone else is listening is feeling that as well. But like, there's nothing I'd want more in life at the minute than to be at St James and just tell him he's shit at his job and he needs to fuck off. Is that pathetic? That's my overriding feeling tonight.
No, I don't think so. Here's a stat for you. I tweeted out tonight all of the Premier League managers, like permanent managers at Newcastle in the Premier League, that Bruce has had longer than. And that list reads Dalglish, Hullett, Rhoda, Souness, Allardyce, Houghton, Carver, if you want to go there, and McLaren, and someone else tweeted me back. He's our fourth longest serving manager in the Premier League now, Steve Bruce. and it's just so damning. It's just so damning that what he's produced. You know, this is the post Arsenal podcast. We've not even mentioned the game hardly because it's just the same. It's the same shit, different week. But for him to be here as long as he has, and for him to produce what he does, I think you hit the nail on the head, Norman, about his frustration and his anger publicly anyway, is about criticism directed towards him, not what he's seen. From to call that tonight an improvement. Newcastle didn't have a chance tonight, did they? Newcastle did not have a single credible chance. They did not create a chance. We've gone to the team that are 11th in the league, 11th, and finished 8th last season. We've not had a chance. We've not quit. If anything, it was worse tonight than it was 2 weeks ago. So you know, he's so keen to kind of, he talks about hand grenades. He's so keen to like permanently present this idea of progress and moving towards somewhere that it's purely done on a game by game basis. So it's like dog shit last week, you know, not as bad this week. Well, that's a good thing, even though it's pathetic this week. That's a good thing to him, and then you can build on it. And then, but then the week after, it's back to dog shit. So then we need a reaction. And like I said, the bloke's a chancer. The bloke is a bullshitter. He's a chancer. He was exposed at Sunderland. He was exposed at Aston Villa. The only two big jobs he's ever had. Norman, you made a great joke tonight on the Charlotte show. I'll give you the credit again. I'll set you up for it. How do you think Steve Bruce wants to play?
Oh, he wants to play like Birmingham City in 2002, but he can't. Exactly. He can't because it's not 2002 and we don't have a time machine.
You're right though, aren't you? Though that was his solution to all of Newcastle's woes. And listen, I'm fully behind playing 4-4-2. If he wants to do that, great. At least we're not getting the bullshit about playing the way the players want to play, then fine. But you know, his solution to that absolute horror show at Sheffield United last week was to change all but two of the outfield players, Wilson and Clark, are the only players that survived. So it wasn't like, what did you lads do wrong? What could we have done better? How could we affect this better? It was just change the players and take out a centre-back and put in a striker in Andy Carroll. That you know, I think I saw a tweet today saying he's on something like 56 grand a week. Might be wrong, could be bollocks, but it doesn't sound bollocks for a Premier League manager. That's what we're getting. Plus the coaching staff. That's what we got for that money as a football club and as a fan base. We've got change the outfield players and play 4-4-2. And then whatever happens in this game, call it an improvement. And I've said before, what if Carl Dowler doesn't pull off two world class saves tonight? And what if they don't miss an open goal and it's 6-0? What if against Manchester City they don't hit the post twice and Dollar doesn't pull off like a ridiculous save and it's 5-0? The performances are the same. The end product's the same, 0 points, 0 goals. But in both games, he's had the temerity to call both of them improvements and positives to be taken from both of them. And that's I hate him. Hate's a strong word. I'm talking in a football sense here. But he's my most loathed Newcastle manager by some distance because of this kind of insistence that he sees his own reality, and anyone else who disagrees with the fact that losing and scoring no goals and being battered isn't a positive is hysterical or a keyboard warrior.
Norman called it before the game on the Charlotte show and said, you know, if we lose 1-0, Bruce will call it an improvement. And I knew it was coming because he did the same thing at Man City when we were terrible. He called it an improvement and it wasn't an improvement. And then we've gone out tonight. And like I said earlier, but the second half in particular was a disgrace. To call that an improvement, to be a professional football manager, and Alex, if you're right there on £56,000 a week, that's one of the greatest robberies in the history of the world. To be a professional football manager for this length of time and to think that was better and worthwhile of saying publicly is an improvement is absolutely staggering. It's a lie. It's a barefaced lie. And I'm no longer sure whether he thinks he's telling the truth.
Yeah. Go on, Norman.
I think right now, if Steve Bruce is the well-respected, well-liked figure in football that, you know, that he seems to be, and if he is a lifelong Newcastle fan who loves Newcastle United, he might need to look and think, okay, right, this is the situation we're in. What can I do to change this? What is the in my arsenal as a football manager that suggests I can turn this around? What have I done in the past to suggest I can turn this situation around? And if you can answer that question, then fair enough, crack on. But I genuinely don't think there is anything that Steve Bruce can do that can improve the situation that we're in at the moment. I can't see the evidence. I feel terrible saying this because it almost feels like I'm digging out another human being for something, which I guess I am. It doesn't feel nice to say this, but I genuinely would like a journalist to say to him or ask him, what is it that you believe you have as a football manager that that means you can turn this around? Like, what is it that's giving you self-belief? What is it that has given you your self-belief that you can turn this around? I would love to hear an answer to that question. I know I won't, but it'd be interesting to hear it. And I guess if you can't answer that question, then maybe the best thing is to just walk away. I doubt that'll happen, but I think that's where we're heading, right? I mean, do you two think there's anything in his arsenal as a manager that can turn this around?
Absolutely not.
No, Norman, and the key thing for me, if we draw 0-0 today, I kind of have my analysis ready. And I would have said, okay, so we're at Burnley last season at home when it was shit the bed, five at the back has to go, it can't get any worse, we'll have to go 4-4-2 and hope it works, and it did work. And to answer your question, the great reset, whatever you want to call it, it's been there and done it. So he's had that time already with this group of players where they have had to listen to him come into training after insisting that the formation and style of play was best suited to the players. It's how the players wanted to play. It's not how he wants to play, but it's how the players want to play. He had to come into training after Crystal Palace away and say, right, lads, well, it doesn't get much worse than that. We should have lost that game 6-0. And Palace are shite. We're going to have to play 4-4-2. So that would have been a big moment. And I praised him after that, because to have to do that after everything he'd said, and it was the right call to make. It's the kind of thing that can split a dressing room. But you only get one chance at that, I think. And it's like Rafa Benitez at Newcastle. I know we shouldn't talk about him, apparently. But when we went five at the back for the first time under him at Burnley, we won 2-1, I remember. Like, it was, yes, the happier times for a number of reasons, driving down to them on a Monday night. When he kind of settled in that formation, it was a big call to say, right, we finished 10th last season playing 4-4-1-1. We're going to have to go this ultra-defensive formation, and it's going to be quite grim for a while, but it worked and it got better. They're big calls to make as managers when you, during a season, you completely rip up the tactical blueprint of your side. And if you get it right, great. But Bruce has done it three or four times now. How many times has he gone one way or the other? and it supports everything that you say, Norman. So it's even if I did think he had the ability to turn it around, the fact that he's already used that card, that trump card, there is nothing there. If you're a footballer, we've talked about it 100 times, man. How are you supposed to have a partnership? Is John Joe Shelby ever played with Mike Longstaff before in the Premier League? Can either of you lads think of a time that those two started a game together in the Premier League? Because I can't.
No, Man U at home 1-0. Was that Hayden, Matty Longstaff? I can't remember.
Yeah, I think so. But even if they'd only played together once or twice before,
exactly.
What is that at this level in the Premier League? Jamal Lewis and Joe Linton's another one. Kraft and Almiron. Carroll and Wilson. Have they ever played West Ham? But in Burnley, that was it. So it's Carroll, doesn't get a kick, doesn't come off the bench for 3 months, and now he's in the starting lineup as the main man up front alongside Wilson. It's just bollocks, man. We're seeing real time, and I'm starting to fear that I'm repeating myself week after week on these podcasts. We're starting to see like the kid who hasn't done his homework. We're starting to see the employee who got pissed last night and hasn't slept and has a big presentation to do. We're seeing the football equivalent of this, where we've got blokes who literally don't know what they're doing in charge of this football team. And these are the results. And it's the kind of results you see are getting beat, hammered 3-0 by a very average Arsenal side, and then coming out and spin it as a positive. It's that kind of bullshit, dog ate me homework stuff. I think we better call it a day there, lads. We're getting like deeper and deeper into this hole. Yeah. Only Castle United. I'm not going to sleep tonight now. And we'll leave it there. Thanks for listening. It's been difficult, as it often is. It's hard watching the team, never mind talking about it. But we really appreciate everyone listening to it. And thanks to you lads for joining me. What, 11 PM now on a Monday night to talk about this god awful football club. We'll be back Sunday after the Villa game. Can't wait. And of course, we've got loads more content like this on Patreon this week. We'll try and do a few fun podcasts as well. So it's not all doom and gloom on Patreon, but thanks to everybody who supports us there as well. All right, lads, thanks for your time. Speak to everybody else soon. Cheers. Bye-bye.